Hey, listeners, before we get to this episode of Problem Solvers, here is a word from our sponsor.
We all know that 2020 has been a difficult year for everyone. And during these unprecedented times of furloughs and layoffs, there's truly never been a better time to start the business that you've always been thinking about or bring your offline business online. That is why today's sponsor, Teachable, wants to help you make 2021 your best year yet. From helping you identify your course or coaching topic to handling payouts, taxes, and more, Teachable is here to help. Teachable is a platform that allows independent entrepreneurs and creators to build and sell fully customizable online courses and services. Join over 100,000 instructors who have transformed their knowledge into world-class courses and have earned more than $500 million to date. To help you get started and as a special offer for Problem Solvers listeners, visit teachable.com/solvers and enter your email for a free masterclass, which will walk you through the exact steps you can take to create your own online school and start making money. That's teachable.com/solvers and enter your email for a free masterclass to help you get your online school started.
And now, on with the show. From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
What would you say makes you memorable? Do you have an answer? I'm going to tell you, the real answer may surprise you. And to explain it, I first want to tell you a little story.
This week, Velshi Across America is in Portland, Oregon, where, like the rest of the country, small business owners have been struggling to stay afloat.
But a few weekends ago, I was on Ali Velshi's show on MSNBC.
Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. He also hosts the podcast Problem Solvers, which highlights business owners and CEOs who...
Well, you know, kind of fun to hear Ali Velshi plug this show and then put his plug on this show. Have you heard of Problem Solvers? It's a good show. You should check it out. Anyway, here's why I'm telling you this. Ali Velshi's producer reached out to me and said, hey, would you like to come on to the show and answer some questions from small business owners? And I said, no problem. Hey, by the way, can you send me those questions in advance so that I'm prepared? And she said, of course. And so anyway, this taping was going to be at 6:30 a.m. my time on Sunday morning, and Saturday night at, like, I don't know, sometime past dinner, the producer emailed me with 10 questions, 10 very hyper-specific questions from specific entrepreneurs. And listen, I wanted to get these right. There was no way to know exactly which of these questions was actually going to be asked of me. She wasn't specific. I knew that I was going to be on with one other person, and these questions would be split among us, and surely there was not going to be enough time for all of them. So here are 10 questions. Max, I would get asked 5. Likely, I would get asked, like, maybe 3? I don't know. But when I am on camera, it's similar to on this microphone that you hear me right now, but even more so on camera, I want to be so full of energy, so just in your face, making sure that this is as engaging and useful as possible. I want to talk fast and pack a lot of information in, and that means that I love to be prepared. I want to know what I'm talking about so that I am as efficient and useful as possible, and I make the most out of every second. So what did I do? I sat down that evening, Saturday evening, and I researched answers for all 10 of these questions, knowing that I would only get actually a few of them. And this took time. This took a lot of time. I was up quite late doing this. And then I went to bed, and then I woke up in the morning, and I had all my notes, and I had all this stuff in my head, and we do the taping, and there were actually 2 segments that we did. And in total, I am telling you, I got asked 2 of these questions. 2 of these questions. That was it. And then we kind of went off on a conversation about some other stuff. And anyway, I'll tell you what. I think I did really good with those 2 questions. I did really good. I was totally prepared. I was very happy. I was thinking, you know, whoever tuned into this, they saw a guy who seems like he knows what he's talking about. And that's the most that you can ask for, right? And then I looked at Twitter after I was done filming this thing. And you know what Twitter said? Twitter basically was saying one thing over and over. Tons of people. They were saying it on Twitter. And then they started emailing me about it. And it was this. Oh, look, there's a bear. There's a bear? What am I talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Maybe you have seen, maybe if you follow me on Instagram at Hey Pfeiffer, H-E-Y-F-E-I-F-E-R, you will see that I work primarily out of my mom's office these days. As you might know, if you listen to the show, my family and I have kind of hunkered down with my parents for the COVID. And so I work out of my mom's office. My mom has this awesome painting of a bear on the wall behind the desk. And so whenever I'm doing any kind of video, if I'm talking at an event, if I'm going on television, if I'm doing a video and posting it on Instagram, whatever it is, the bear is generally in the background. And again, awesome bear. And so people see this bear on MSNBC and they just go crazy for it. There's a Twitter feed that I absolutely love called Room Raider that just does exactly what it says. It rates people's rooms when they're on television. And Room Raider said, "We love bears, love the composition, doors are art, use bright pillows," which is a ding because we had dull pillows, 9 out of 10. And then that got 241 likes. And there were tons and tons of people who were responding about the bear. They were tweeting individually about the bear. People emailed me directly. They found my email address just so that they could ask who painted the bear. And, you know, at first I was thinking, man, I did all of this prep work. I spent all of this time. I went on MSNBC. I thought I was really smart. I thought I sounded good. You know what? I could have just gone on MSNBC and yelled poopy in my pants for 10 minutes and all people would have seen is the bear. And is that annoying? It is not annoying. It's great. I think it's great. I think it's a great lesson because it goes back to this question that I had asked 5 minutes ago before I rambled on about the bear and MSNBC. And it was this: what makes you memorable? Well, now I'm going to tell you why I was so happy that people didn't pay any attention to me and they paid attention to the bear. But first, we are going to take a short break. When you're running a business, you are constantly solving problems. And what you definitely don't want to do is create problems. You know what creates problems? Complicated systems, QuickBooks, spreadsheets. You don't need that. It's time to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. You can ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown because now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. It is the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. It is everything you need all in one place instantaneously. So whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite and join over 22,000 companies using NetSuite. So how you do it? Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/problem solvers. Again, schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/problem solvers. One more time, netsuite.com/problem solvers. All right, we are back. So I just told you this story of me going on television with a bear behind me and then everybody ignoring what I said on television and just responding to the bear. And I said, that's great. And now you're wondering why. And the answer is because of this. Quality is expected. Quality is expected. There is a world full of people who are really good at what they do. And so when you go out and do the thing that you do, even if you do a really great job, and I'm not just talking about going on television, I'm talking about creating a great service and executing it or building a great product or whatever the case is, no matter what it is that we put out into the world, we want to make it quality, but we also have to remember that quality is expected. Quality is the default. Quality is the thing that people just basically expect you to deliver on. And I'm going to give you some examples that go beyond me in a second about that. But just so what's up with the bear? So the way that I'm thinking about it with the bear is if I go on television and I do a good job, the only thing that I've done is I have elevated myself to everyone else who is on television. I mean, everyone on television does a good job. Occasionally somebody does a bad job. But, you know, by and large, you go on television, you do well, quality is expected. You didn't really rise to the top. But the bear is a way to be memorable. And listen, I'm not saying that the bear is particularly valuable for me in any career sense or anything like that, but this is just a little microcosm. It's a little moment in which to recognize that when you go out and you are quality, that that is great, but that has to be the starting point. Something else has to make you memorable. Quality plus. What's the plus? What's the thing that grabs people's attention and says, oh, I got to stop and look at this. I got to stop and appreciate this. I got to stop and tell other people about this. I got to stop and engage online about this. And for me, the thing was the bear. I mean, a bunch of people signed up for my newsletter after that segment, for example. Why? I don't know. It's possible because they saw the bear and it stuck in their head and they're like, who is this guy? Maybe the bear is just what got them to look up because, you know, something's on television, it's on in the background, you're not always watching it. So they looked up, they're like, bear? Oh, listen to that guy. That guy's pretty smart. Huh, I wonder, maybe I'll go to his website. Oh, I guess I'll sign up for his newsletter. By the way, side note, my newsletter, it's great. This story was in that newsletter. You should sign up for my newsletter. Just go to jasonpfeiffer.com, J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com. Newsletter is about how to find opportunity and change. Anyway, point is, you have to be quality plus. And to me, the bear was the plus. It was the thing that made me memorable, and I love that. And let me tell you how else this plays out. So the first time I think that I really became aware of this idea of quality is expected is when I was talking to the president of Reebok. He had just come in for a meeting. We were just chit-chatting. And he was talking about how he has oriented his company culture around consumer obsession, customer obsession, just being obsessed with what people want so that you can go above and beyond to deliver it. And he said, look, the reason for that is because when we do our jobs really well, that's the thing that people just, as a starting line, expect us to do. He used the metaphor of a scissors, a company that makes a scissor. So imagine you put out a pair of scissors. What can you tell people about this pair of scissors? Can you market it by saying, it cuts things? I mean, you can't. You can't because quality is expected. If you put out a pair of scissors into the world, it better cut things. You are not differentiating yourself by making a great pair of scissors. Great pair of scissors, it's like comfortable to hold and it cuts things. That's what a scissor's supposed to do. Nobody is going to applaud you. Nobody is going to say this pair of scissors is the best pair of scissors because of its quality, because quality is expected. So you got to go above and beyond. You have to understand what it is that your customer wants that goes beyond the product. Is it the story? Is it the branding? Is it the way that it somehow fits into people's lives because of its position? Whatever it is, I mean, if we're talking about a pair of scissors, and then you go to shoes, right? Is it not just the quality of the shoes, but the styling? Is it the marketing? Is it the affiliation with influencers? Is it the lifestyle that it creates? Is it the message? Is it what is it? What is it that makes it memorable that goes beyond quality? So that's how a big company like Reebok thinks about it. And now let me tell you about a small company who has to think about this exact same thing. Not long ago, I was talking to this woman who she had bought a consulting session from me, and she runs a program for kids. She teaches kids a particular skill. And the kids come and they don't know this skill. And then she teaches it to them. And then she feels like she has done her job. And she cannot understand why these parents will get super demanding with her. And they'll be annoyed that she told their kid to work harder or to whatever. Like, whatever. Like, there's just a million reasons in which something that she does pisses off the parents. And she told me that her first reaction when she hears from the parents is always the same, which is like, but I taught your kid how to do this thing. Your kid came to me, did not know how to do this thing. I taught them because that's exactly what you wanted me to do. I'm really good at that. Now the kid knows how to do the thing. What is the problem? I am doing my job. And I had to tell her, look, quality is expected. Like, when they sign up for your program, the thing that they expect is that you will be able to teach their kid this thing. That there's just no question in their mind that you'll be able to do it. So now the question is, what else can you do aside from deliver the quality that is expected? Because if you only rely upon having been able to deliver quality, well, I'm just telling you, that's not enough. You've got to figure out ways to engage those parents, to communicate with those parents in ways and they feel involved, that goes beyond, you know, just delivering quality and instead is about building relationships. It has to be that. It has to be quality plus. It has to be memorable. And so I ask you, as you think about your own quality, and I have no doubt that whatever it is that you do in this world, you are doing it with quality. The question is, what is your bear? What's your bear behind you? What's the thing that gets people to say, oh, this person's really good, and now I remember them. This person's really good, and they've gone above and beyond. This person is really good, and I want to continue to engage with them. That's ultimately the lesson of this silly bear. Because listen, the bear behind me when I'm on camera, that is not that relevant. It's fun. It maybe gets people to engage on Twitter. But the question that you have to wrestle with, just like Reebok has to wrestle with, just like that woman who is teaching kids has to wrestle with, is what goes beyond quality? What makes you memorable? Quality Plus. All right, so that's my primary lesson for the day, but I have one more thing that I want to leave you with today. It is something that I heard recently that really stuck with me about how to manage workloads. This has been quite a year. We have all felt quite stressed, quite stretched. So how can you think about it differently? How can you maybe go take a little break? That is what I'm going to tell you right after this break. On this show, we talk to entrepreneurs who are solving problems. But what does it look like when an entire town full of entrepreneurs with problems are getting solutions? That's the premise of Small Business Revolution, an original television series by Deluxe that's launching its fifth season. In each season, the show features inspirational, moving makeovers of select small businesses from a town that America votes on, and this season, they are going to Fredonia, New York. You'll see marketing makeovers, renovations with physical spaces, and businesses and lives being changed. It's at once inspirational and insightful, with a goal of reigniting America's passion for and support of small businesses, with plenty of tips for you to take away for your own business too. You will not want to miss season 5 of Small Business Revolution in Fredonia, New York, so tune in now. You can find the show on Hulu, Prime Video, and at sbr.org/solvers. That's SBR for Small Business Revolution, sbr.org/solvers. All right, we're back. So one more thing I wanted to leave you with. It's not really about Quality Plus. It's about how to get things done and how to manage not getting things done, which I know is something that we all struggle with. I mean, do you feel like you can't get everything accomplished? I sure do. And that includes literally right now. I'll tell you, I'm recording this. It is 11:27 a.m. on a Wednesday, a past deadline for filing this episode. I need to get it to the editor. I have literal minutes to wrap this up. There was a management meeting before that I had to attend, so I couldn't do it then. And in 3 minutes, I got to talk to my accountant. And so, like, here we are. How are you going to do it? And so what do you do? Well, I suggest you take a cue from insanely successful TV producer Shonda Rhimes. So there, she told this story to Fast Company a few years ago. And I'm just gonna quote her in full here. I wish I had audio. That would be amazing. But I'm just going to quote her in full. So imagine me as Shonda Rhimes. Quote, "My first year doing Grey's Anatomy, I would be at work at 10, 11 at night, and one of the executive producers would go home at 6:30 or 7, and I would look at him with such rage, and he'd say, 'Shonda, this work will always be there tomorrow.' Now, I understand what he was saying. You're never going to cut down the mountain of work to make it flat. It is always going to be a mountain. I try to focus on climbing this piece of the mountain, and then think about climbing the rest of it later." End quote. Now, I just love this. I loved it the second that I saw it. I originally saw it in my friend Paul Kix's newsletter. He had just launched this big project and wrote that he had, quote, "has consumed my working hours. I haven't had time this week to research my forthcoming book. I haven't had time to advance." All right, a few minutes have passed. I thought that was the accountant. I'm just going to leave this in because it feels like kind of appropriate to the subject at hand. I thought that was the accountant. Instead, I think it was a spam call. I don't know. There was nobody there. And now I don't know where my accountant is. He's 3 minutes late for the call. So I'm just going to see if I can finish this episode. Here we go. So anyway, so Paul was writing. He wrote that he hasn't had time to advance other long-term projects in the past that would have freaked him out, he says, and he would have doubled down and ignored his family and worked till 2 a.m. to get everything accomplished. But he kept Shonda's words in mind. Paul wrote this. He wrote, quote, "I see what Shonda means. I'm busier than ever, and the mountain before me is actually a good thing. It means I'll always have work, but to attempt to climb it every night is to exhaust myself the next morning. Do that long enough, and I'll no longer be able to face the mountain." End quote. It's true. The mountain will always be there. The mountain will always be there for us all. This year certainly felt like quite a mountain. And look, we can climb it all day, and we should, but let's not burn ourselves out doing that. Let's keep Shonda Rhimes's insights and wisdom in mind. You know, the mountain will be there. We should focus on climbing it, but not trying to flatten it, because that's not possible. And doing so will only flatten ourselves. So, okay, I hope that if you've taken anything away from this episode, it is, of course, ooh, look, there's a bear.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeiffer.com, J-A-S-O-N-F-E-I-F-E-R.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.